Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a nice weekend and got out and enjoyed the weather. Can you believe it still feels like summer? Today's temperature here was like in the 90s, and fall began yesterday. No, it didn't. Fall began on the 21st. Where is fall? I'm a little fed up with this hot weather. I'm still loving it, but I think I need to get a little cool going on because it's just too hot when it's summer, and then I'll be having my own private summer, so come on, winter. Okay, tonight's topic is kind of something that's dear to me, children, but it's an ugly topic. It's about child abuse and, you know, how our children are being abused by not only their family members, but strangers. Even the system is abusing our children. And I have three stories that I'm going to present tonight and give you the comments that was presented after these stories were written. I also have my special guest co-host, Ms. Kane, who's going to be on the line with me. Are you there, Ms. Kane?
Yes, I am. Hey.
How are you this evening?
Tired and full, honey. But I'm here.
And
thank
how's
God
the weather?
I'm here.
That's true. That's true. How's the weather down there?
Hot, honey, hot. Make you, you go outside, honey, you want to run back in the house like, oh, no, Jesus. I pass.
That's how it was here today, and I went out to take my sister to Walmart, and that was the worst mistake I ever did because my car does not have air conditioning. And I'm telling you, if it don't have it, when next summer comes, that car is going in the trash because I refuse to ride around in a car without air again. I mean, it is just so miserable, and I'm looking at everybody. They have their windows rolled up, and they're looking at me, and I'm sweating like a first-class bull. I said, oh, no, this is not going to happen next year. Not at all.
And you
but,
know,
you know,
it
I'm
makes
still...
you kind of hate them, too, don't it? For the ones that got air conditioning.
Oh,
they
my goodness. And I'm just, you know, they're looking so cool, and I'm pouring sweat, and they're looking at me, and, oh, my goodness. But, you know, like I said, that's not going to happen next summer. It is not going to happen.
I know
yeah,
that
with
right.
all that being said, we're going to jump right into this this topic because I only have an hour and I want to get as much, you know, in as possible. And the first story that caught my attention was really, oh, my God, it's just heart-wrenching how a mother can, you know, harm her baby, you know, and... This is really sad, so I'm going to get on with this story. This story is mom of decapitated baby says, I didn't mean to do it. Yeah, right. Okay, a woman charged with murdering her three-and-a-half-week-old son used a knife and two swords to dismember the child in eight parts of his body, including his brain, before stabbing herself in the torso and slicing her own throat, police said Monday. Odo Sanchez, 33, is charged with capital murder in the death of her infant son, Scott Wesley Sanchez. She was recovering from her wounds at a hospital and was being held on $1 million bail. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus said the early Sunday morning attack occurred a week after the child's father moved out. Odo Sanchez's sister and her sister's two children, aged 5 and 7, were in the house, but none were harmed. Odo Sanchez's aunt, Gloria Sanchez, said her niece had been in and out of a psychiatric ward and that the hospital called several months ago looking to check up on her. She did not elaborate on the nature of her niece's health problems. Odo didn't mean to do that. She was not in her right mind, a sobbing Gloria Sanchez told the Associated Press on Monday by phone. She said her family was devastated. McManus, who appeared uncomfortably as he addressed reporters, said Sanchez apparently ate the child's brain and some other body parts. She also decapitated the infant, tore off his face, and chewed off three of his toes before stabbing herself. It is hideous for me to describe it any further, McManus said. McManus described the crime scene as so grisly that police officers barely spoke to each other while looking through the house. Parts of the child were missing, including pieces that Sanchez allegedly ate. At this particular scene, you could have heard a pin drop, McManus said. No one was speaking. It was about as somber as it could have been. Officers called to Sanchez's house at about 5 a.m. Sunday, found her sitting on the couch screaming, I killed my baby! I killed my baby! McManus says. They found the boy's body in a bedroom. Police said Sanchez said the devil told her to kill her son and that she was hearing voices. It was a spontaneous utterance, McManus said. Now, I think that she definitely has some issues going on. You know, maybe she did that because, like they said, the father had moved out soon after, about a week after the child was born. So that could have caused some issues to run rampant in her brain or whatever. But, and they also said that she had been in and out of a psychiatric ward. That child should not have even have went home with her. They knew that she had issues. See, this is what I'm saying. Also, the system is failing a lot of these children that are being abused, neglected, and killed. You know, it's things that they know, but they just brush it under the rug, and they let these kids go back home to these abusers. They thinking, well, okay, she's been through therapy, she's good, send the child back. 2 or 3 weeks later, you hear the child's been killed. So what is your take on that, Ms. Kane?
I that's horrible. And I can't even begin to try to wrap my mind around that because, you know, I used to be so quick to condemn people that would do stuff like what she has done. But you never know what's going on in the mind of someone. It's too hard to tell. I can't stand by any type of child abuse. And just like you said, the system, it's really failing our kids because, and not just our kids, but other kids as well. And that's one of the things that I really want to do is counsel like teenagers because I know that I had a rough childhood in and out getting in trouble, but I was fortunate enough never had to go through any type of child abuse, but I just think that's horrible. I don't know how a person's mind gets so messed up to the point where they would commit such a heinous crime. I don't even know how it could go there.
Right, and then for her to cut him up and eat parts of his body, that is definitely, I can't even begin to describe what type of animalistic characters that holds because it was just something that was on her mind or in her heart to cause her to do that to that 3.5-week-old child that he didn't do any harm to her.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have, you know, but some of these women, they get it in their head, they want their baby's daddy more than they want their children, and it could have stemmed from that.
It
could have stemmed from that, and she just said, oh, well, if I can't have the baby daddy, I don't want the baby, and then to do something so hideous like that is the worst of the worst.
I got a quick story to throw in here, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
It was the same situation, kind of, sort of. This girl, I guess, you know, she was happy. Her boyfriend, they got married. And, you know, she got pregnant or whatever. And from the time she got pregnant, it's like he took more of an interest in her being pregnant than anything, which we would probably say, okay, that's good right there. That's a good look. But she didn't like it like that. She kind of felt like, oh, well, he's not really focusing his attention on me anymore. So she had the baby, and as soon as she had the baby, he started spending more and more time with the child. I'm talking about, seems like the man had a love for his child like none other. And I got this story from my godmother.
Mm-hmm.
So one day he went to work, and to make a long story short, she killed the child, cut the baby up, and cooked the child in a meal. And when he got home, she fed him she fixed him the food or whatever, and he knew how he discovered that she had did something to the child. He ran across one of the baby's little hands or something.
Mm.
I said, you got to be out your damn mind to pull off some shit. I don't even know how you would live with yourself. I know that some women have postpartum depression, and I went through some stuff with my daughter when she was younger. But I knew in my mind that if I didn't get it together, that either I was going to end up hurting myself or I was going to hurt her. But I had to pray on it. And that's what I tell people, get into prayer. But sometimes I don't think that prayer really can help a lot of these folks because, yet again, I must say, we don't know what's going on in their mind. But for me, you got to be straight up and down damn crazy. I don't care.
Yeah. And these are some of the comments that came with it. It says, what's strange is how much you hear stories like this in southern states, not to offend anyone from the South, that though there's a debate whether Texas is a southern or western state. But anyway, another issue should be the intelligence of these people. How can you be a family member and know that she had a problem like this along with the father? I mean, the sister even said, she's gone crazy last night. She was hearing voices. She kept bringing me the baby, and finally she calmed down, and I took the baby back. And now I just woke up to hear screaming. This sister is an idiot. There should have been no way she should have gave the baby back after witnessing your sister act that way. You think you would have taken her sister, bringing her the baby as a sign. Manuelo Sanchez told police she suspected her daughter was into drugs and specifically told police she wasn't suffering from any mental issues. Your daughter decapitated, mutilated her son and ate him, and you don't think she has mental issues? A family member has said Sanchez has been undergoing psychiatric treatment and that a hospital called looking for her several months ago. Gloria Sanchez, the mother's aunt, said her niece had been in and out of psychiatric ward. How does anyone know that something is wrong with her and still ignore it, or maybe they were too dumb to realize it in the first place? To top it off, the dad is a sketcho. You think anyone would have the brain to say at one point, you know what, I don't think this baby should be around these two. Now we have another innocent life taken away because of lack of intelligence and responsibility from these people. This story and these relatives make me sick, and I hope they read this so these words can burn into their soul. That's one of the comments, and another one says, death is too good. They should put her in a closet-sized cell with no light, toilet, or any room to do anything but stand. Oh, to make sure she keeps her strength up, give her a PB&J and a bottle of Aquafina once a day, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I guess that is, and a bottle of Aquafina once a day. Let her rot. They should do this with everybody who harms, molests, or kills a child. That was a baby, for God's sake. Rest in peace, little guy. You're back with God now. Then another comment. Once again, a medical condition had that no one report. The doctor knew this woman had mental problems. The doctor should sit in jail with this woman. Then the last one. If Sanchez had been diagnosed with postpartum depression and was going to be admitted to the hospital for treatment, how could the doctors not see she was a danger to her newborn son? The system should have stepped in and moved this baby from the home. See, that's what I'm talking about. The system also plays a part in these things because they could have known that this woman had issues from the beginning, in and out of a mental institution. What does that tell you?
It tells me a lot because I just don't know. And again, you know, I think, going back to what you said, the family, how could you just overlook something like this? And then why was she having sex? Because you know when you have a problem within yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's no ifs, and, buts about it. You know when you're having a problem. But sometimes I guess, you know, people tend to try to look the other way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a shame, too, because just like I had also mentioned earlier, it was a case here where this little girl, she was in and out of system. Her mother was in a relationship with another woman. And the little girl was taken away from her because of that situation, and then the little girl was being abused. So the little girl was in foster care for maybe a couple of years. And so the mother had claimed she had straightened up, everything was good, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So they gave the baby back to the girl. And I think a couple of weeks, the baby was dead. They had killed the baby. You know, so sometimes just because they put on those fronts that, oh, I'm good, everything's good, I'm not doing that no more. I want my baby back. I need my baby back. You get them babies back, and next thing you know, they're dead. And that's the sad part because they don't do a thorough investigation. They just basically want to get those children out of their way, you know, so they would have to stop giving up money, you know, to support them while they're in the system and, you know, passing them from foster home to foster home, because that costs money as well. But, you know, I think it's just bad. It's really sad. And our little babies are getting killed. And then the fact of, we're going to talk about the fact of these people getting time, how much time they get for killing their, you know, their babies. Sometimes they give them probation and, you know, 2 and 3 months and 6 months and stuff like that. Now, this woman, she's being charged with murder, which is what she should be charged with, and a couple of other things she should be charged with. But, you know, even when a child is maimed or beat up real bad, they, you know, they basically will put them in foster care for a minute or two. The next thing you know, they're giving them back to the parent, and the parent's still beating them until they eventually kill them. So people like that, I don't think they should ever get their children. They can cry, they can throw tantrums and everything else. Let them get their children back when their children are grown. If their children want to make the decision to go back with them when they're grown, then that would be their decision. But see, by them being children, they can't make those decisions. You know, the courts make them, and the system makes them, and those, all the time those decisions are not good ones. They're really not, and you know, it's just so sad. I feel so sorry for the children, because when they're being abused, they can't speak up and say, well, my mommy choked me, my mommy hit me with the broom, my mommy did this, my mommy did that, because they're just so small. They pick on the little teeny babies, the ones that can't talk. Some of them can talk, but they threaten them. You tell anybody and I'll beat you again, you know, so, and then they don't realize what they're doing to these children is they're making monsters out of them, because eventually all that aggression, all that pain, all that hurt is going to be let out somewhere on somebody.
And you know what? I'm going to take it here for a minute. That's why I figure for me, I'm so blessed to have a good baby's daddy. And even with my son's sperm donor, he comes from a two-parent household. His parents are still together as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I choose to not get involved with certain type of men, because it's not about me. It's about my kids. It's about me, but
right.
It's about my kids too. And I don't
right.
like these dumbass women who is out here allowing these men to do things to their children.
Yeah.
And then they want to turn a blind eye and then wonder why the child hate their ass when they get older.
Yep. They can't understand it. But, you know, you have to sit back and think that children, they do as they see, and they learn from their parents. If you see your mother and father fighting all the time, when you grow up, basically you're going to think that's the right thing to do. You know, and if you keep abusing your children, they eventually may abuse their brothers or their sisters, you know. So you have to be very, very careful in bringing your children up around any type of environment where there's abuse, neglect, be it verbal, mental, or sexual. You know, and a lot of times these parents don't believe these children when they tell them that that, you know, their boy, when they go and tell their mommy, daddy touched me, or mommy, your boyfriend touched me. You know, they say, why are you lying? You know, you have to believe these children, because children just can't make up stuff like that.
Mm-mm. They sure can't.
They really can't, especially they don't know anything about stuff like that until it actually happened. And I'm going to throw this out there. Last night I was watching this movie called A House of Poker. I don't know. I think that's I don't know what year that movie came out, but if anybody, I guess you can Google and find out if you can get that DVD. But that is a DVD I would recommend parents to watch. Because what it was about this 14-year-old girl. She had two younger sisters, and her mother was a prostitute and a drug addict. And what happened eventually, her pimp was, they were white, and her pimp was black. And she, his pimp used to come over, and the little girl, the 14-year-old girl, she was like, when I first saw it, I couldn't really understand what was going on, because I came on a little bit while it was on, because I thought the 14-year-old girl was actually the mother. But then I found out, because the guy came in, he sits down at the table, takes this knot of money out, he throws it over to her, then he puts a gun on the table, then he says something to her, so they get up and they kiss. So I'm thinking that was the mother, but come to find out, that was the 14-year-old girl. And she, the reason why they called the House of Poker was because all these pimps and prostitutes and hangers-on and drug addicts and stuff would come over and they would play poker. And what happened was, here came over, they was having a poker game this particular night, and all the prostitutes and all this and that was all up in the house, and she came in, and she told one of her little sisters to go to stay over somebody's house that night. So she goes out in the living room, and, you know, she's seeing her mother and the pimp kissing and all this whole kind of stuff. So eventually the police had came, so everybody said, let's go down to the club. So they left the house, and the little 14-year-old girl, the guy, the pimp was laying on the floor, and he was motioning for her to come to him. So he was kissing her, and what she was saying, his kisses are so sweet and tender and, you know, this and that and all this and that. So eventually, you know, he's kissing on her, and I'm saying to myself, what in the heck, why is this happening? Eventually, he raped her. He raped her. And she went into the bathroom, got in the bathtub, and was bleeding. So her mother came in, and she was reaching out for her mother to grab her. And her mother comes in there talking all this off-the-wall stuff, and she didn't even pay no attention to the girl. So the girl also knew how to play basketball really well. So she comes out the bathroom, and she has the gun. And she said, she tells her mom, he raped me. She said, no, he didn't. What are you talking about? You shut up and stop lying on him. He didn't rape you. She said, he did rape me. He raped me. He's selling you, and now he wants to sell me. Because in the beginning, let me take it back a little bit. The mother had told her, she said, you know, you're going to have to start, you have to start selling yourself soon. What? You know, that's, but anyway, I would suggest, you know, getting that DVD and watching that movie. It's called A House of Poker. But the girl was very smart. She eventually got her three sisters, and they, you know, they got left the house and all this and that. But it was really something to watch, because that just goes to show that children of all ages are being abused. And she was being abused mentally, verbally, physically, and sexually in that house. But she did get the nerve up, and she left, and she took her two little sisters with her. But, you know, I said all that to say that age really doesn't matter. If you're under the age of consent, or if you're under the age of, you know, when you're living in your parents' house and you're a child and you're being abused and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's just bad.
Another good movie that I would suggest for them to watch would be Bastard Child out of Carolina.
I saw that.
I couldn't believe, and let me give y'all a brief rundown on what happened in this movie. What happened in this movie, the country hillbilly white folks, and the mother got married to this dude who she was dating him at first, then she got married or whatever. So he would beat her daughter. She had two daughters. Did she have one for him? That youngest one belonged to him.
I think one of them was his, but I know the one that he actually raped. I don't think that little one was his.
Yeah, the youngest child was his, but like I said, that child belonged to him. But the woman's oldest child, which was the oldest daughter, because she only had two daughters, the young one and the oldest one. And the oldest one, she couldn't have been no more than about 12, but this girl was so mature for her age. anyway, if the least little thing that she would do that was wrong, he would beat her. And I'm talking about he would blister her behind, like, oh, my God, you wouldn't even imagine. And, okay, he went from doing that to touching on her. Then he eventually slept with her, you know what I'm saying? And she went to stay with her aunt and them, her aunts, and somebody had died. One of her aunts, she went to stay with her, the aunt had died or whatever. Or was it a little get-together that they was having? No, it was a funeral. And she went in the bathroom. Her uncle had gave her something to drink. So she had got a little drunk or whatever. Baby, when that aunt, that other aunt of hers went in that bathroom, she was sitting on that toilet. And then she went to, you know, the aunt went to get her off the toilet. And she kind of sat back down or something. But she was like, oh. And the aunt looked behind her at her bottom. All hell broke loose. When I tell you them uncles went out there, it was about 5-1, baby. They put a can of whoop ass on that dude like none other. But her mother chose to stay with him. He's going to change. He's going to get better. And then he ended up coming over to the daughter had moved because her mother let her go stay with the aunt because she needed that time and that space or whatever and from the man and all this old other crap or whatnot. So, basically, to sum it all up, he comes over there one day, her aunt was gone fishing, and he raped her, and she walked in on it, and only then she tried to crash him over the head with something or whatever, but she still, to me, seemed like she wanted to stay with him, and you don't watch your child go through all this mess with this man, and you gonna continue to be with him. She was so stupid to me, I could have went through that damn TV screen at her, honey.
Yep, that was a good movie now. That was a good one to watch as well. Now, I have another story here. It's Baltimore County mother throws baby out of the bathroom window. It said, infant survives fall into bushes at hospital in good condition. A 21-year-old Rice's Town woman threw her newborn baby out of a window last week, a Baltimore County police spokesman said. Rebecca Himes of the 100 block of Virginia Avenue gave birth to a baby in the bathroom of her home Thursday, placed the baby in a plastic bag, and threw the bag out the window into some bushes, said Lieutenant Ralph McCullen. A family member heard a noise and found the baby outside, McCullen said. The girl's mother and the other family members then called police, he said. When officers arrived at the house, McCullen said they found blood all over the bathroom. Hems and her baby were taken to Greater Baltimore Medical Center. The baby remains at the hospital and is in good condition and in the custody of the Department of Social Service, McCullen said. The mother was released, he said. Hines was not arrested and has not been charged in the incident, McCullen said. The incident remains under investigation by the police department and the Department of Social Service, he said, but prosecutors will decide if Haynes will be charged. Now, why wasn't she charged? That is crazy. You're going to take a newborn baby, put it in a bag, and throw it out the window like you're just disposing of trash, and they're going to make a decision? Wow, but you know what the decision they probably make? After a while, they're going to get that baby back to her. Because she's going to be, I want my baby. I didn't mean to throw it out the window. Oh, that is just so, that's terrible. And I got a few comments. One of the comments was, crimes against the innocent needs to be stopped. The laws should change. If you hurt a child in any form, you should be killed by a fireman squad or get beheaded instantly. This mess makes no sense. A chick will deal with a sorry man, messy friends, and a host of other shiesty people forever, but throw a baby in a trash can like it's nothing. This is so true. Can deal with all the other shady people who have stole from them, lied, fought, given an STD to them, had them evicted, and so much more, but would do the one wrong the most who had done nothing to her at all. Then another one said, that woman needs to be charged with attempted murder, endangerment, abandonment, concealing a birth. History has shown when these people are given the chance to reconcile with the said child, a while later, when they are supposed to be safe now, they kill the said child, sometimes within a matter of days. What is amazing, they never randomly kill another child. Not that I would like that, but just shows that they think they are God. They think they are God give life and can take it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Now, why she was, just like that person said, she should have been charged with attempted murder because she put the baby in a bag. Baby could have suffocated. then abandonment, concealing a birth. You know, those are the charges that why they have to make a decision?
I don't know.
You know.
That message is so crazy. I just pray and hope to God that I never have to go through anything like that because I couldn't even imagine. I really could. And
yeah, because
these people can get away with this type of stuff or they need to think about. Look at the Casey Anthony. If that was a nigga, honey, they'd have been thrown up under the jail.
Casey Anthony, what was that?
You know the white girl from Florida that killed her child.
Okay, the one who said that the babysitter had killed her.
Then forgive me for saying that, and there ain't no personal direct comment towards white people, but yes, honey, that just pissed me off because they went through all this crap trying to find out if she did it, what led up to it. She was at the grocery store. She was at Target. She was buying this. She went out and she parted it. If that was a black person, honey, if that truly was a black person, they'd have threw them up under the jail. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, a lot of them get away with it, but, you know, like I said, they be giving them probation and 6 months in jail and, you know, and that's ridiculous because just like I'm not going to be as extreme as a girl saying they need to be beheaded and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, they need to be punished for, you know, killing a child. If you kill a child, you don't need to get out of jail for what? That life will never come back. So that I agree with that person. They said she should be put inside of a small room and just fed peanut butter and jelly and water, you know, and let her suffer for it, you know, because death is too good.
Right.
You know, these people, they need to suffer for these crimes. You know, killing somebody, that's just easy, really easy. We have a call on the line. Let me bring them in. 832, are you there?
Hi, this is Angela. I was dialing the last two numbers. I was tripping. I kept getting a message saying that there are no scheduled shows at this time. Please call back. Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you got in. What do you have to say about all these crazy?
Oh, wow. You know.
You know, because that's just, you know, it's sad.
Oh. Wow. I can't believe that the last young lady you was talking about, she didn't get charged. Wow.
But throwing her baby out the window, wrapping it up. I mean, she should, like just like that person said, she should have been charged with attempted murder, endangerment, abandonment, and concealing a birth. Because of nobody knew she...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on.
I was about to say the sad part is that when they do take these kids from the parents or whatever, if they find them, that they're neglecting or abusing them. And, you know, their main focus is to reconnect the kids with their parents. I get that. But at the same time, you know, you have to, you know, make a decision, you know, based on what's best for the child. Half of these parents that, you know, some of them are sincere with their fights to get their children back, but at the same time, there are some that they're only focusing on the funds and the food stamps that they're getting from the state, you
right.
know, that has been an essential part of their livelihood. So a lot of times they just want the kids back, you know, for those type of benefits, which I think is wrong. I've worked with kids that had behavior and emotional disorders, and they were separated from their parents. And, you know, from teenagers, I heard some of the most horrendous stories, you know, even from, you know, straight from the kids' mouth about the things that they've endured while living with their parents. And I just can't believe that they send some kids back to those, you know, those type of homes, whereas, you know, the parents really don't have their best interests at heart. That's sad.
Right, and then eventually they end up getting killed. Or even if they was abused, they abused worse, you know, sitting them in hot water and burning them out with cigarettes and, you know, throwing them upside a wall and, you know, crazy stuff like that. So, you know, I blame the system as well, because the system has failed a lot of children, sending them back to these people who have been abusing them all their lives, and they get to crying, I want my baby back. You know, you should have taken care of your baby when you had her. You know, and those people, they need to have their tubes burnt and clipped. They should not ever be able to have another baby again.
Wow. You know, you know, I have a cousin, and she has kids that's in the state care. And I think, like, her, maybe three of her kids are, you know, wind up going with the father and his parents or whatever. But she had her children taken away from her, and she just recently had a baby. The baby should be maybe like, she has one that should be about two or three, and then she has another one should be about one. And the one that's between the ages of two and three, she's living with relatives in Dallas, Texas. But she, you know, like I said, she just recently had another baby. And her strategy for keeping this baby was that she went to, you know, a totally different hospital where they didn't know of her and know of the cases that were against her, so that she could keep this baby. But, you know, so far so good with this one. But, you know, I pray for him, because the one that's in Dallas, she took, and the baby's clitoris, it's a girl, her clitoris was mutilated.
She said that
she had the baby by a friend, and that the friend's dog did it. Another case of the dog got it. And but, you know, we do know that, you know, she has a history of getting high, and she has this paranoia about people touching or molesting her kids or whatever. And we do feel like she is the one that actually, you know,
clipped off the girl clitoris
so she wouldn't have any. I don't know what she was thinking, but, you know, she wasn't thinking nothing really,
because that's crazy. That's definitely crazy.
And there are really crazy people out there like that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just sad. You know, I really hate to keep saying that over and over, but these children need some type of protection. And, you know, when these kids call the police on their parents for abusing them. Now, when I was coming up, we used to get beaten. We ain't getting no time out and no little go sit down somewhere and all that. We got beat down. And we're still living, you know. And I, you know, looking back on it, I do appreciate that we got those beatings, because it definitely stirred me in a whole different direction, you know. But you have children that are actually being abused, you know, I mean really abused, getting hit with baseball bats and, you know, stuff like that. That's abuse.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a child calls the police on their parents, sometimes it may be legit and then sometimes it's not. And basically you find that mostly in the white community, these children are calling the police on their parents because they grounded them, or they wouldn't let them watch TV, you know, little stupid things, you know. But, you know, black people, you know, we basically, you know, deal with our children on a whole different level. because, you know, my child is not going to go in no grocery store and throw no tantrums and be running up and down the aisles acting like he crazy because I didn't buy him something. No, 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 no. See, little Timmy, he going and he throw a tantrum. And she, oh, aren't you going to get in timeout when you get home? No, you're not going to get in timeout when you get home. You're going to get your little butt torn up right here and right now in this store. But you
there
know,
are
that's
some,
the,
there are some white. I've witnessed a Caucasian woman, honey, and she is very rare, honey. She had a child, and he went to cutting up in the store. I swear to God, that was my mama, baby. She got to his little behind, and so, I mean, and didn't care who was looking or whatever, and he called himself having a tantrum. And she, when I tell you she tagged that ass, she tagged that ass.
you got
and everybody was like,
Yeah,
everybody was doing a double take because, you know, we're not accustomed to seeing that. But, you know, she hadn't had enough. But there are even black families now that are afraid to discipline.
Right, because they think, but you know what? I'm going to tell you a little secret. if that was the case and my kids were young and they called the police on me, either the police going to take them with them and they're going to bring them up. Or they're going to be locking me up because when they get there, I'm really going to beat their butts. You know, and I don't think, I haven't heard of any, I haven't heard of any, well, not to say that it's not true, but, you know, black children calling the police on their parents. But that was started by some white kids because it was a little girl. I'll never forget, she had called the police because her parents was growing reefer in the house. And she called and reported them. So that meant she had to go to foster care. So that was
that. And that,
was
in retaliation to the parents?
What, that she had to go to foster care?
No, I mean, by her calling the police on them, was she retaliating against something, maybe a punishment or something?
I don't really know what it had. That was so many years ago, but that's what this, because, you know, the newspaper never gives you the nitty-gritty of anything. You know, they'll say something like, little girl calls police because her parents was growing pot in the house. You know, they probably wouldn't say because she called the police because her mother had beat her and wouldn't let her go outside or something like that. But, yeah, she called the police and reported that they was growing pot in the house. So I have one more story, then we can have an open discussion. This one is prosecutors, malnutrition girl force-fed sleeping pills. According to the criminal complaint, Carletta Brett Pierce, the mother arrested for assault after police found a 4-year-old girl dead and weighing a scant 18 pounds, tied her daughter to her crib after she got up to get a midnight snack and force-fed her sleeping pills to stop her wild behavior. Brooklyn prosecutor Tracy Downing said at the hearing the mother tied up the child because she would get up in the middle of the night and eat food and make a mess. Witness also say Brett Pierce beat her daughter with a belt and a plastic video case. Brett Pierce's daughter, Marcella, was born prematurely, weighing just over 1 pound, and suffered from undeveloped lungs. However, the family has been monitored by the Administration for Children's Services since November after Brett Pierce's son was born with drugs in his system. Brett Pierce attempted to explain the bruise on Marcella's body by saying she fell, but an autopsy revealed they were ligature marks from where Brett Pierce tied her to her crib with twine. Brett Pierce is being held on $300,000 bail, but has not been charged with homicide. She is currently charged with assault, reckless endangerment, and endangering the welfare of a child. She also had drug charges against her after police found marijuana and cocaine in her purse. Some of her neighbors have said they're not surprised at the charges, and one said, if she did do it, she gets everything she deserves. God is going to judge her anyway. Now, she got charged with assault. What about murder? She starved that baby to death, beat her. Lord have mercy. I think that is just so wrong. because she's responsible for that little girl weighing 18 pounds at 4 years old. She probably didn't feed her from the day she brought her home.
Probably not.
And her bill is set at $300,000. Wow. That's, you know, and here's a few comments they made about that. One of the comments was she should be given the same treatment as she gave her own child. This kid was a very sick child, and she had been in the hospital most of her 4 years of life. She was sent home sometime earlier this year. How do you return a very ill child to drug heads? The people at Children Protective Service should be in trouble. They were visiting this household. Didn't they see the poor condition this child was in during all the visits they made to this home? See, that's what I'm talking about, the system. I know they saw that little girl, and I know they know that she wasn't the normal size for a four-year-old to weigh 18 pounds. Come on.
That's if they made the visits. You know, some of them don't even make the visits, you know. They'll call and have a few questions over the phone, but, you know, they don't make visits like they should or like they used to anymore in the social service field. They don't do it.
It kills me now how the system try to take kids up out of a good, stable household and throw them into the system when ain't nothing really going on. A child might have a disagreement with their parent or something like that,
yep.
And they think that's grounds to try to put them in a foster home when they looking at the bigger picture.
Yep, and they ain't looking at these people that are just abusing their children and neglecting them.
Mm-hmm.
You come in somebody's house. If I came to your house, Miss Kane, and I saw that your child, you have your daughter's. Well, how old is your daughter or your son?
My son is 6. My daughter will be 13 Sunday.
Okay, a 6-year-old should weigh maybe about 40 pounds or something. How much does your son weigh? About 40 pounds.
Yeah, cause he's skinny.
Right now, if I came in your house and your 6-year-old son and he weighed 11 pounds. I'm going to hurry up and go call the police, Child Protective Service, or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people see things
expect.
And they turn a blind eye.
Yes. And you can't do this. Some people say, well, it's just best not to get involved. No. Because you know what I hate? And I see a bunch of these females doing this, and I don't do this for my to my own kids. They, honey, when I started letting them go out the door, they ain't know how to act. They were like, "Thank you, let us outside." Ooh, thank y'all. Thank you, Jesus, honey. If I got a little cousin who do her son the same way, when he get out that door, honey, he be tearing up some. He be running, honey, wide open. They don't know how to act. But I see a lot of parents that don't be doing a good job. You know what I'm saying? And they let their kids stay out roaming around. I know a certain individual who has a young son around about my age, and it's a couple of them, and they kids just be walking and all out at the time of the night, you know what I'm saying? It'd be by 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. What is a 6 and 7-year-old doing out at that time of the night?
Mm-hmm.
Because you so busy trying to be up under your mans.
Yep. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it's about. A lot of these young girls, they rather be with their man and look out for their man than look out for their kids. And that's when
that.
The first of the month come around here, it looked like a ghost town all before that. When the first of the month come around, people be coming out the woodwork. You ain't seen them all month. The first place they be taking their kids, the McDonald's, Wendy, all them places, and taking their boyfriend, getting their rims on their cars and their radios in their car and all this so crazy stuff. You know, that money is not allocated for your boyfriend. That's for your children.
Right.
You know, but they some of these women, they use the system. They use the system. But, honey, if I had anything to do with it, they would have a chance to be on it for a minute, but they'd be out there every day looking for a job. If they had to work at Wendy's, McDonald's, or whatever, they would definitely be out there working because it's just making it too convenient for these women to have all these babies and get, you know, a check for each one of them, food stamps, $1,000 worth of food stamps, and you living in Section 8 paying $5 a month, and you get evicted. Hello? That is really crazy. I knew a girl, she didn't have to pay rent. Right, she didn't have to pay rent. She just had to pay her utilities. Why'd she get evicted? Because she couldn't even pay utilities. That's sad.
But did she not have the means to pay the utilities? Or
she she was getting a check every month.
Oh, wow.
She was getting a check, and I think she had 3 or 4 kids, something like that. But she was a drug addict. And see, that's another thing. They, you know, not to say that everybody needs help sometimes, but first they should have got that woman off of drugs, sent her to rehab somewhere, got her off of the drugs, and then, you know, maybe try to straighten up, give her her kids, and, you know, have her under the radar, you know, keeping an eye on her. But they give drug addicts more than they give somebody who got kids.
Mm-hmm.
When really, basically, if it was left up to me, they get rehab first.
Yeah,
they go into an 18-month rehab, come out, get a job, get themselves together, and then we might talk about giving them some money. But they just make it so easy. It's just too easy.
Wow.
Yep. But we're down to 3 minutes. This went by really fast, you know. But I really had a good time, and I'm glad that you called in, Angela.
God, I would have gotten in sooner had I been dialing the right number. And
I did that one time. I did that one time. Called into a show, and then I said, "Girl, I can't get in." And so they sent me the number again. I said, "Oh, I was down the wrong number."
And look, the sad part is I was looking at the number, looking at it,
dialing it. That happens. It definitely happens.
Oh, y'all, I'm getting old.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, I'm going to, you know, sort of wrap this up in a couple of weeks on the 8th of October. My next show will be about should street pimps be legalized. And my birthday is October the 9th. I may have a show that night, depending on, because I might be going out, I don't know. But if not, I may have a show that night, just music and talking and serving cyber drinks and food. And
well, I sold
cyber drink.
You can have any type of drink or food you want.
Ain't
gonna
get that Henny.
I had Henny anything
get
you
that
want
Hennessy,
there.
Baby.
Yeah.
Angela, baby.
I know that's right. So, you know, put y'all's shows in the window, and if you have any closing remarks, you got 2 minutes to make them. Miss Kane, you got anything you'd like to close with?
Honey, no, I'm just sleeping, honey. I'm sleepy. I'm full, honey. I'm like, oh, God, I got to make it a mom do show. Lord, Jesus, help me, Lord. I had to go outside for about an hour, honey. I had to do it all.
Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you made it, and we're down to 1 minute. So I'm going to say thank you, ladies, for coming out and supporting me. I do appreciate that. And I'm going to say thanks to, I think it was Bobby CC that was in the chat room, Angela, and Miss Kane. Hope you guys have a beautiful weekend, and thank you. Love you guys. And everybody out there listening, have a nice weekend. And with that, I'm going to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Miss Kane.
You're welcome.